Off the Ball, GAA.
Wow. Oh, the Gaelic is back, Steve-O. It's certainly back. Tommy's loving it there, isn't he?
Oh, man, fire, Thomas.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Night of Champions League action, huh? So, Man City lose.
And sorry, yesterday you're like,
Spurs win.
Yeah. No one cares about this, but it was great.
Spurs win.
An epic night.
Arsenal, what a result against top of the league, Inter. What does this all mean for Manchester United? That is the question, of course. Yeah. That is the question. How does this affect United?
Well, Michael Carrick was out last night watching the Under-21s.
He was out. He went out, watched it.
Yeah.
That's good of him. Where do you want to start here?
Oh, United.
Anything else to say about the Manchester derby?
You know, Arsenal.
Tommy Mina was really good, actually. I forgot to say that yesterday.
I would say last night was exhibit A, B and C of why this Champions League format is class.
Yeah, I didn't have a problem with it. I think I'm a pro Champions League.
Yeah, you're a big UEFA
guy. A bit of work on the side.
Loves you a bit of Saffron.
Bit of UEFA stuff, yeah. Don't mind UEFA compared to FIFA. I prefer this Champions League format because you know why? You know what I find myself doing?
Because you don't have to pay attention to it.
Well, that is a terrible thing to say to a colleague. But what I like about it is I find myself looking at the table a lot.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because Arthur, Bodo Glimt won last night. And I went, where are Bodo Glimt? And you know where they are?
Low.
And you know what? I thought I was at the correct table. I was actually, I have Norway's World Cup table in front of me because I'm excited about Norway now.
Yeah.
Anyway, Bodo Glimt are 27th in the league, right? And that was their seventh game in this season Champions League last night, sir. And it was their
first win. But they were, you know, they've been excellent.
They're not even top of the Norwegian league.
You were asking who's good to watch. Turns out Bodo Glimt's games are good to watch. 3-2 at home against Juventus, last minute winner, 2-2 all against Spurs.
Spurs, what are they doing? Who are these monkeys still? What's going on?
Yeah, it's all context, all these scores. It means Thomas Frank's doing a good job at Spurs because he got a point away to go to Bodo Glimt.
Now, it turns out, yeah.
So, you know, usually I have a talking point. I'll delete it after we discuss it, but I have left the question, who's the most entertaining team to watch there?
In the Premier League.
Yeah, who's in the Premier League now?
Yeah. To revisit.
Yeah.
But we're not all Premier League in the show, of course.
Nope.
In this instance, we are Champions
League. Are you saying it's now Man City because we don't know what's going to happen?
Well, there's an element of surprise. It depends what you mean by entertaining. Kevin Keegan's Newcastle would fit the bill, like. You know what I mean?
It was good to watch last night. I'll grant you that. It was good. But it also kind of felt, even though it wasn't, it still kind of felt inconsequential. Yeah. Just in terms of like you're watching, you're like, gosh, right? Like, I don't know what's going on with all these, you know, because it's hard to get the feel of a game.
Yeah, maybe there are two different issues, are they? Because I think for Spurs, there's definitely a stay of execution for their manager. And I think for Arsenal, these are the types of performances where you're like, that, it seems to me, matters.
Yeah.
I'm like, you're building up evidence now. Okay, Arsenal, fair enough. That's pretty good.
Well, the thing I'd miss is that, and it can happen, of course it could happen, but like you'll have a game last night, so say like Sporting PSG.
Aye. We didn't mention that.
My buddy was at that, he sent me videos from it.
Class.
Unbelievable atmosphere.
Amazing result for Sporting, right?
So just everybody doesn't know, they won 2-1.
They won 2-1.
At home.
In injury time, and he was joining in with the locals.
But my...
Your buddy or the
buddy,
manager?
In his best Portuguese accent.
My thing would be before...
Friend.
Sacedo was still a kind of a thing there over who was to qualify and whatever other team was in the group or whatever. It's not like that narrative now will stop in terms of those two teams, because odds are they'll probably have nothing to do with each other. So who PSG play next might have nothing to do with it. Might or it might not.
Yeah.
But in terms of whereas before you're like, oh geez, PSG now have to go to Thing Sporting are going to Thing. They'll be going, you know, they'll have to whatever match each other's result. Mm. They'll still be kind of condensed within.
Yeah.
Whereas this is so open. I have no idea who Sporting are playing next. I don't have a clue. Yeah, I don't have a clue who PSG are playing next.
It's all vibes. I'm loath to repeat myself, you know, of course, on this show. But I would still take this out of context Champions League, is what it is, versus the format from 2 years ago.
Yeah.
I'm only waiting for the knockouts to begin anyway.
Yeah.
And I'm mildly interested if a big team is on the verge of elimination. That would get me going. But from whatever way you...
From the group.
From the group, yeah.
That probably won't happen, though, will it?
I don't think you're, I think you're right. So whatever way you spin it, right, whether it's the old format from 2 years ago, those old four teams to qualify, or this way, I'm just waiting around anyway, and I find this mildly more entertaining.
Yeah, I suppose if you are, again, to repeat myself, if you're a fan of one of the teams who's in danger of not qualifying or being outside the top eight, all that stuff, we see... Obviously, PSG came from the depths of hell last year to win it, but they did have a squad that was capable of doing it. If you don't have a squad that's capable of doing that, you're not like using that as a template. You want to be in the top eight. You want to have an extra week's rest. You want to get your players back playing fewer minutes. And it's just, I think it is pretty interesting. So Sporting have moved up to sixth with obviously loads of teams to play today. And their next game is at Bilbao. Just trying to find out where Bilbao are. Oh, they're 32nd, so they're probably going to be out, although they could win tonight and then be back into it. So I don't know, it was a good night, high quality football.
Yeah Real were class, got themselves a new vibes, man. The goal show is good.
Yeah,
a little bit weird and out of all context, but it is good. I do like it. It's a weird thing where you're kind of, you really tune into what the, I think it was Martin Keogh and Joe Cole and maybe Julian Loren were there with your man, is it Matt Smith?
Yeah.
But, and they were chatting away, and it is funny when you do think about it, when you really lock into what they're saying, and you're like, oh, these boys are having to riff here 45 minutes, whatever comes up, a go. And it's just like, they kind of run out of things to say sometimes. It's just, and they just, you're like, inevitably there's stuff they haven't had to think too much about beforehand, so they're kind of having to react in the moment. It's like Joe Cole talking about Real Madrid, and it's just like making these fairly grandiose claims, and it's just like, oh man, you weren't expecting them to be 4-0 up here. It's like, it's amazing. It's a really interesting experiment. It's like, just keep going, we're going to think next.
You were taken by Vinny J last night.
Well, he went and celebrated very openly with Arbeloa after he scored his goal. I don't know, was it 4-0 or whatever it was? Maybe 5-0, actually. Went over, a big hug on the sideline. Yeah, but like, you watch him, it's like, oh, he is class.
Yeah.
He is class, though. Yeah, and about class. It's like, it is that kind of funny thing when you look at them at the same time, you're like, geez, when they're ticking, it's like, oh, it's a hell of a team.
Yeah.
It's a hell of a team. Like, just Bellingham in the mix there. Joe Bellingham starting last night for Dortmund as well.
Jesus, Thomas Frank.
He's back, baby.
Let's be frank here.
They were good
for Thomas, you know.
But their Champions League form's always been good.
European football for Spurs, not a problem.
It's not an issue.
Like Bobby Doyle will attest to last May.
Yeah.
Not an issue for Spurs. They could just sort it out domestically, you know. I like this post-match musings, Frank. Played it down. He wasn't that taken by the Spurs victory.
No?
He did a Ruben Amorim on it. Played it down.
Well, they were against like 10 men for about an hour.
What they were, correct me if I'm wrong, they were winning.
Yeah, they were 1-0 up.
Yeah, it was one of those tackles that...
It was a Diego Dalot, wasn't it?
It was, yeah. Very, very lucky.
It was a tough red card.
You think so?
Yeah.
You think he shouldn't have got a red card?
No. He was on the ground. He wasn't going to do any damage.
You don't think so? Oh, you think it's damage orientated?
Like, he was clearly, it was risky, but it wasn't a red card. I just don't think it was. I think he was going for the ball. Like, he wasn't, you could say he probably wasn't in full control, and maybe by the letter of the law, that's fine.
I actually have no issue with the red, because I do think it would sort of set a precedent if you allowed that to go. And then...
Because the bit where it's like, no damage was done, then the damage does get done, somebody misses 8, 10, 12, 14, 3 months of the season.
That'd be the only thing I'd say about that.
You're we let that one go.
You want tackles.
Well, it was just like, I was watching that match. So I said I'd watched that match from the get-go, and that happened. It was like, I'm finished this.
You're
gone off this.
Your Spurs' harshest critic. Were they?
No, it was just, I think it was on. It was on.
I know, but generally, you've been, Spurs are absolutely luck. You've seen
but they lost to West Ham at the weekend. We'll not get too carried away.
You've seen them live in person. Were they any better last night?
But they've been fine in Europe. They're in the top eight, aren't they? I think.
They're thereabouts.
They're
fourth now, but obviously.
Hey, do you know what?
Games to come tonight.
I couldn't find the Inter-Arsenal match.
Oh.
I think it was Amazon, was it? I don't have Amazon anyway. I couldn't find it. Couldn't get it. I eventually got a stream for it, and there was no commentary.
Oh.
Have you watched football without commentary?
Not a long time.
No.
It's good, yeah.
It's really good.
It dropped out for a while there during the Leeds and United game.
The only thing I can equate it to was... not the same, obviously, but you know, COVID, there was commentary without fans. It was slightly different. But this is like, shows like Eurosport had that Watts program and they showed random clips with no commentary. And it was like that, but an entire game.
And they really boosted the stadium sound. Those things in France, just a...
So then I felt like I was an analyst watching it. Interesting. I had to edit these bits and be like, okay, what am I going to do with Tsubamendi here or whatever was playing.
Andy Lee talked about that before, boxing.
Yeah, without commentary.
I don't think he watches it with the commentary. I don't know if that's a forever rule, but he was like, it influences your thing too much.
Well, it was Andy Mitten saying to us he doesn't listen to other media concerning the club so that he comes on fresh. And then you do hear, I think you're right there with the old Andy Lee thing. I've heard other great sports people in their field, they prefer to watch it unbiased, I suppose. I've just grown accustomed to commentators telling us what's going on, but it was I enjoyed this Inter-Arsenal loving. Now, what I was really into last night was the Man City game.
Yeah, watch that.
You know, because I think we all fell into the trap of looked at the fixtures yesterday morning. We're like, okay, fine.
Handy 3 points.
Interesting. Now, Arsenal fans are still enraged here that we haven't got to them. They just went to the top of the table, Serie A leaders, Inter, last season's Champions League finalists, who do need a result here to get into the top eight. And Arsenal, who rested a few players, didn't have a few players that would normally be starting for them in the biggest games, went over there and won handsomely. Mikel Arteta just has a kind of perma smirk now when he talks to the media.
In the eye of the beholder, obviously. He's beaming. He's got an internal content surpassing wealth. It's like, oh, look, life is good for me. And you're like a smirky McSmirk over here, lording it over us.
Sorry, just before I forget this, opposed to nothing. My brother-in-law's Spurs season ticket holder was there. Mm-hmm. He texted me during the game. Guess who's right behind me? David Bentley. In with the fans.
Did you ask him, was the anger on?
Is he not an Arsenal man?
I was thinking, he came through at Arsenal, but I think he's chosen Spurs.
I think if you get paid by the club for a period of time and you...
And to add to that, Arsenal didn't let him go. He asked to leave to play football. You know,
more power to him. I told you. Yeah,
he chose. I think Blackburn's means a lot to him, but Spurs, I suppose he lives up the road. Anyway.
Just would point out that Eze was playing last night again, and things went really well for Arsenal.
Why do you love him so much?
I just think he's great because he would monster Villa every time we played. It'd be like, this guy is unbelievable.
Your team got hurt.
This guy's unbelievable. Well, I mean, it's also just because he's very good.
Exactly. Yeah.
I was not surprised at all, though. I expected Arsenal to go there and win the way they play in these. But it is interesting. It's a little bit like Liverpool last year, same position. Wasn't it 7 from 7? They dropped the last one, I feel, but it didn't matter.
PSV away.
Yeah, didn't matter. So it's not necessarily a four.
Did it not get them a shit draw in the end? Was it now got a
They finished top. They kind of got weirdly unlucky because the way it was with PSG, that it's just like they got really, it was like a freak thing. It's like you got this team that's just hit its straps, but I don't think it actually impacted their draw at all. I don't think that can happen this year, can it? Do they make allowances for that? I think they've definitely changed something in the seeding where the higher you finish, the
again, it's more choreographed here.
I think so. Now I don't know if the same freakish thing could still happen, but like obviously the PSG thing was weird. Nobody was kind of seeing that coming.
Like Gabriel Jesus scores twice, then. Their squad is top notch. There are two strikers basically got their three goals last night.
They're stacked.
The Gyökeres finish was good.
Really good. It's funny because it was a bit Kevin Sheedy, Italian 90, because he tried a pass, didn't work out, came back to him, had a go off it. Beautiful finish. The Inter goal was excellent too.
They were similar enough finishes. In a way. That's him starting to come into a bit of form and.
I think he's going to be, I don't know if he's going to be forever fragile when it comes to confidence or if he just hasn't got going yet and now this is the start of it. I don't know what we're going to see there, but it is often the case with out and out centre forwards that there is a fragility to them when it's not going well, and when it is going well, it's like, well, they've completed football, mate. Do you know, it's kind of one or the other with Gyökeres heel early days.
I do think there's a difference as well with playing in Europe than the Premier League.
I don't know. Is that a release?
Because I don't know, like, it's just a different style of football. Like, I just don't think it's, you see, like, especially the likes of, see, McTominay scored again last night, like, they were playing Copenhagen, I think they only drew. But, yeah, I don't know if it always corresponds.
Mm. It's just that his form in the league has been better recently than the,
yeah,
I mean, obviously it wasn't that difficult to be better than his drought.
He'll be fine, like, maybe he's not, like, going to score you 30 goals a season, but he'll be fine. Like, he's not, I don't think he's a millstone around their neck exactly.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Just Arsenal's depth chart is sensational. So their midfield last night, Zubimendi, Marino, Eze. So that's discarding Rice and Odegaard.
Rice comes off, comes on for Eze after about 67 minutes.
And Odegaard's unused, but available.
Yeah. And like, you look at Odegaard's form, everybody's raving about it.
Then I think, not the surprise of the season, but I didn't anticipate Leandro Trossard being so important to Arsenal this campaign.
I did not either.
I thought, to be honest, I thought he was expendable, and so did you.
Which I think is, again, a sign that actually winning me over here, Mikel Arteta, with your, this guy's actually, you're using him not just as like all right, you'll do, we need you, come on. And he'll score a goal every 7 or 8 games. Like, actually,
do you still view him as bonus really territory, cherry on top stuff, Trossard, if he scores and plays well? That, well, I'm still not expecting him to do that.
No, I think now that like, he's one of those players who Arteta and his coaching staff have turned into a key functioning member of the squad and the team.
Yeah, but it's even how he's strengthened centre half depth as well, outside of Saliba and Gabriel. So Mosquera played last night. Yeah, and they're really strong. Like, I really can't see too much of a weakness with. I said on Monday it was like, well, centre forward probably. And they did that last night.
Jesus, definitely one of those forwards who needed many chances to score. And then again, since he's come back from injury, it's like, all right, he's going to score everything now.
I see him as like a defensive striker who does loads of work for you.
Yeah.
And he gets the odd goal.
A non-scoring now, number 9.
At the same time, this weekend, I don't know if it's necessarily a foregone conclusion, which is the madness of the Premier League. But for now, let's marvel in the Champions League. So Arsenal away.
Dermot Keenan seems to be suggesting here to me that last season Liverpool finished second in the group. They didn't. Or in the top of the group. They finished top. Just to clarify that. They did lose their last game, but they finished top. So just, I'll let that lie.
Watch your words. PSG finished, is it 19th last year?
I have it open here in front of me.
Which means...
No, they finished 15th.
15th, which means that Barcelona are going to win the Champions League this season.
The PSG had to play somebody, though, before they got to Liverpool.
I believe so, yes. They had to play Brest. They bet them 10-0 on aggregate.
That's a tricky one for them. Good to see someone unfamiliar.
Well, Brest were good the year before.
How are we going to play these teams? We never play them.
Yeah.
We've got no information on this crowd.
So, do either of these two early kickoffs tonight interest you? Galatasaray, Atletico Madrid.
In Turkey. Would watch.
You could watch.
Would watch.
5:45.
Grand.
The other one is really for the hipsters out there. Carabag against Eintracht Frankfurt.
Yeah, I might pass on that.
8:00. It is happening tonight for sure. Marseille against Liverpool. We thought it was happening yesterday.
What's this wee?
We thought it was happening yesterday because we win and lose as a team here on Off the Ball. Breakfast. St. James's Park, Newcastle United against PSV Eindhoven. The Luke de Jong derby. Is that what they're calling it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Slavia Praha. I'm off to Praha in a month.
For the game?
For the second time in February.
Oh.
Would you get that? And do you know when I was there the first time in February? Sure. The 115 charges were announced.
Oh.
It was 3 years ago.
Did it distract you from the Budvar?
From the holiday.
And the...
Booked an early flight home. I said, we got to get home. These 115 is going to change everything. They're entertaining Barcelona. In Turin, you've got Juventus against Benfica. I like to think of players who played for both, and I can't at the top of my head Juve, Benfica. But if anyone has a shout, do let me know.
Oh, it's a great question. I'll think about that. You have a go, yeah.
I will. I'll continue here because I'm really interested in this one. But
Di Maria played for Juve at some stage, didn't he?
I don't think he did.
He didn't go there.
I don't
he's
think
a very
he did,
Juve player.
But he's such a Juve. Did Angel Di Maria play for Juventus? I mean, that sounds like such an obvious question one way or the other.
I'll let you look it up.
I looked that up and then I'll continue reading out fixtures. Oh my word, you're correct.
Yeah, there you go.
I can 20, see him in the jersey.
Yeah, he's very
23.
He's yeah. very Juve.
He played. So it's the Hangel Di Maria Derby. That's a good one. Where are we now?
Can I do some tabs in the morning?
No,
for you?
I'm not finished. Juventus, Benfica. And then Stamford Bridge. This, I am interested in this one. Chelsea against Paphos, my boys.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Paphos,
yeah.
Cyprus.
Cyprus.
And Diego that's Luiz.
David Luiz.
David Luiz. David Luiz Derby. There's only. There's a piece in the Indo today. Aidan Fitzmaurice has done about where all the money's come from. It's like a rich oilman has gone and decided to put money into this club.
Yeah. I can't emphasize how small that place is.
50,000 people, but
incredible.
It's not your.
You can't emphasize it. It's 50.
Not maybe built on something sustainable. Literally,
it's a rags to riches.
Bodø/Glimt is a 55,000 population, which is smaller than the Etihad capacity.
Some good
Bayern against Union Saint-Gilloise. Yeah. If you got a player in common there,
there's an A-niller.
And Atalanta, who I think are eighth. I think Atalanta are in the last first-class passenger boat off the boat.
Still after last night's results?
Against Athletic Club.
I find it funny, your analogy for this Champions League is that it's a sinking ship.
Well, am I talking about the world or am I talking about football? Either way, Atalanta are getting out.
Yeah, they're eighth. Oh, they have a game. Okay, game in hand, yeah. Oh, it's going well for them.
You may read the headlines.
So it's interesting to me, right? The Sun have got this very straightforward Champions League drama. Frank Yu, picture of Thomas Frank Yu to win a relief for Spurs. Sorry, Haaland, shame. A Bodø loss. There's no like splash on the City game. So they go inside and it's two pages. Thomas, a Eurostar. Romero and Solanke seal another win for under pressure of Frank. And you're like, oh, that's a Thomas the Tank train engine. Is it? Is that what it is? Am I missing something? Thomas, a Eurostar.
I guess. Eurostar.
Well, Eurostar because it connects. And he is a star in Europe right
they
now.
They weren't. They
Jesus,
were at
twice
home.
Superstar.
But they didn't have to
they didn't
use
have to
the
go
Eurostar.
Anywhere. No, they wouldn't anyway.
Jesus twice superstar. That's good.
And they wouldn't anyway. Like you hold it against them.
But there's no double page match report on the Man City game. To our point yesterday, I was like, Does no one care about Man City?
Well, we have a guest about Man City.
There's a
keep up the pretense.
Hope people care.
Well, that's our.
I think there's a certain.
I realize it's Spurs and Arsenal, so it's London. It's like
I put it this way: they could do whatever they want about Man City, right? But I think there's a certain untouchability about it that you know, as have happened last season, City could lose 10 games in a row and nothing would change. Whereas Frank.
They'll change the manager.
They'll get it. Like if they lose last night, tomorrow night to get the big sack and thing. The thing after that, the Spurs. I think the City thing is just so. It's interesting. It's not that it's not interesting, but there's no like life in it afterwards. There's no tail.
The star, on the other hand, only fools and norses.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, fair play.
And the Mirror, Arctic Flunkies.
That's good. I like it.
Yeah. And then inside the Mirror. They've got their Bodø 3, Bozos 1.
Love it.
Yeah, it's good. It's like, the lads in the Sun are like, nah, City, who cares?
Bozos.
I'm like, Arctic Flunkies is great. Bodø, Bozos, what can we do with it? You don't like headlines, you're not, this is none of this.
No,
like,
I do, to be honest. Whatever. I just actually never verbalise it, but I do inside think that's good. I was just thinking, Bozos, Bozo was an insult when he died, didn't it?
Yeah.
That died Bozo. In the late 90s, I'd say, before the Euro came in.
It's American though, isn't it?
Bozo. I remember Bozo was big in my culture in the 90s, yeah.
We want to talk about hurling. Hurling, on the face of it, has never been better, but scratched beneath the surface. And what do you see, Arthur? What do you say?
It's probably always been this way, though, hasn't it?
What?
It's never been better than this. In terms of like the, we're talking like about thing, and to be fair, it's Dennis Walsh wrote a thing earlier in the week. It's just kind of stuck with me. It's got me thinking, but he was referring to the structure. And we all kind of would agree that when it came in 2018, it looked class. So I don't remember the exact details of all the situation there, but you had like, it was a Cork Clare Munster final. They end up playing again in the semi-final. Galway play Clare in semi-final. It was a great summer, whatever it was. And you have a surprise winner then in Limerick. And that kind of gets disturbed with COVID. But like you had a surprise Leinster winner in 19 at Wexford. So it all for a few years looked class. And then general thesis of it is that we're probably moving further away now from it looking class, because there's a greater, you sort of need a certain amount of quality teams. And now it's a case, I don't think anyone's necessarily writing Waterford off yet, say, but they still haven't got out of Munster. Clare didn't get through last year. You're kind of like, ah, it kind of happens, whatever. But it's not inconceivable that the Munster Championships are a repeat of last year in the final standings, possibly. And Leinster has become, I mean, it's as a competition, it's veering now closer to Leinster Football Championship of old. Kilkenny walk it, Kilkenny don't go much further.
So there's some hope that perhaps Galway, second season with Micheál Donoghue, can put together
something
this year against. But even if they do, we're not quite sure yet whether or not what happened last year with Dublin was sustainable. It might be, and maybe they're the third best team. But we're in a historic situation with regard to slumps.
Well, we are, insofar as I saw Cork. Well, like, it's weird, but Cork and Kilkenny's record slumps would suggest that things are all right, that they are broadening out. But it doesn't feel that way. But I think that the problem with hurling is that there's always been that shallow talent base there, where like there's an elite and then there's kind of degrees of the rest. But if that gets out, if that's so plain to see, it becomes a real problem. It's always there though, which is your point about the thing, like there were maybe not as well as it seems. It might not be in terms of how excited people get about the elite, but I would say that the issues with depth and everything else are consistent. That's never been addressed. It's been addressed, but it's never been solved.
These are two separate things though, right? There's like the...
Kinda.
Well, maybe they're connected, but I don't know if one solution is going to fix all of the problems that hurling might have at the moment. The main issue, it seems, is that there's a massive disparity between the quality that we see in Munster and the quality that we're currently seeing in Leinster, and there's no sign that Leinster teams are closing that gap.
And I'd absolve Kilkenny from that. I don't think it's inconceivable Kilkenny winning All-Ireland. They're not like miles away from it, but they're not...
Oh.
I don't think you'd say they're guaranteed to get out of Munster if you put them in there.
But is it that way? So you were making the point off air earlier that like the Munster Championship, it matters so much when you're in it, but people forget about that when the All-Ireland final rolls around. Mm-hmm. And they are separate competitions.
Mm-hmm. Kinda. I mean, they do feed into one another.
Well, that's the point.
Yeah.
You get penalised. You could be the fifth or sixth best team in the country and the seventh, eighth and ninth teams.
Yeah.
Or the seventh and eighth best teams in the country survive.
Geographically, yeah, for geographic reasons.
For fluke, for like, you know, because, and this doesn't seem to matter that much because Galway have managed to move for geographical. So it's your kind of, there's a rod for the back there where the best teams in the country don't get into the All-Ireland Series. Now people will say there has to be some punishment for losing in Munster, but like, why is there punishment for losing in Munster against the best team in the country when the team who are continuing might have beaten the 12th or...
Yeah.
You know, it's like a totally imbalanced scenario. I wonder if there's a fairly easy fix. Make league positioning result in seedings, and if the Leinster teams finish behind the Munster teams, you have to play off in a one-off game to qualify for the All-Ireland quarterfinal. And make it if you want to incentivize the Leinster teams, it's a home game for them. It's not in Croke Park, it's not in Thurles. Home game for them.
Would you be saying the fourth team in Munster plays the third team in Leinster to see who goes through?
Okay. Yeah. Like a relegation playoff in the League of Ireland. And it's like...
I don't hate
here's
that.
The thing. Here's the thing. It only happens if the fourth team in Munster finishes above the third best team in the league in Leinster. So do you understand that?
So could I ask then, the league at the minute is obviously in a... It's a 1A, 1B in the true sense of the word, where the 1A is all the best teams, the 1B is, I suppose, lower teams with one or two higher quality teams.
So it's impossible for Wexford, Antrim, if they were in it, Dublin and Kildare, to finish above the teams. So you're guaranteed a playoff this year, right?
You do it that way, okay.
I'd be like, yeah, tough luck. You didn't pay enough attention to the league last year, so maybe you have to give everybody 12-month notice for this, which I think is ridiculous. Like, okay, in 2 years' time, we're going to fix the problem that we have now. But okay, maybe you're like... And then teams come down and they're automatically going to be in a playoff unless they qualify automatically.
I don't hate it. But you do fear... The only fear with all these things is that you end up just making the strong stronger. And if the GAA start doing stuff like that, and you question their kind of record on these things anyway, like not the efforts, but just the overall record of the association, you do end up just jettisoning more teams to make the point that, like, so Kildare this year will come up. Kildare probably, on the basis of things, should go back down.
Yeah, they're unlikely to finish third in Leinster as things stand, though.
Of course.
So I don't think they'd be too...
But they'll almost have no chance of getting out, if you know what I mean. Because even if they did finish third, they're probably playing, this year they'll be playing Clare. So even if they somehow manage to navigate their way through...
Yeah, but, okay.
Job, you know, you're gone.
Like, if they do get there, they have Clare at home in Newbridge. And what a fixture that is. Like, yeah. That's a one-off game. Like the difference is...
Well, that's effectively... What you're saying is effectively the Premier... That was the thing before, the Joe McDonagh players playing the third...
No.
It's the same principle,
it's
though.
It's not, though, because it's the third team. So it won't be Kildare. It'll be Wexford or Dublin or Galway.
Yeah.
At home against Clare or Waterford.
Yeah.
Which is a good game. After the Championship is over.
Yeah. I no doubt.
That's my...
I do like it. I do like it. I mean, you do risk alienating. Like, if it goes to pass, it probably ends up being the Munster team more often than not.
Yeah, well, like, get your house together.
You know what?
Hurling.
This idea that you've concocted and you agree with is probably a good idea and for the greater good, and you should go that way. However, I would just like to see, for just one year only, right, Euro 92 style 8 tournaments, or 8 teams, sorry. So I'd have the 5 from Munster and the 3 prominent in Leinster, as in Galway, Dublin and Kilkenny.
And just call it the Munster Championship. So to pretend that it's not, so everybody in Munster is happy.
Football rebranded All-Ireland Series. So call it an All-Ireland Series tournament where it's 8 teams.
And can I just
ask, seeds.
Is there a Munster Championship as well?
Just let me finish this one, right? It's a tournament.
Let him cook.
8 teams, no seeds, open draw. The entire tournament is played at Croke Park.
Oh, God.
Over a 1 month period. And you can buy a ticket for the whole
thing. Tell that. Go and tell that to your man. Is it Kevin O'Donovan in Cork?
You can make it.
You get no matches in Cork this year.
You're going to call it a festival of hurling, where we finally figure out who the best of the best is. You know what I'm doing there? European Super League.
Yeah.
But it's in hurling, right? And I just want to see who truly is the best, who doesn't get advantaged or disadvantaged by geography. I'm talking, you're out there to play each other on merit. Now, Dublin could get a nice draw and find themselves in the final, but they would still have to beat a really good county in at least the quarters or the semis. I would love to see who truly is the best.
Did that not happen this year? They did beat a good team in the quarters and then lost to a better team in the semi-final.
Yes, but it was branded in such an unattractive way that, and it was also spread out so much.
The Liam McCarthy Cup.
Now, I understand that the GAA crowd is not for moving with suggestions like this, but I would love to see that.
So you're saying kill the Munster Hurling
Championship? I'm not hurting
Where do the provincial championships come in?
Well, we can still do those. And the point I make by that is I felt very strongly about, you know, the Munster Championship was the be-all and end-all for us early last summer.
Yeah.
I remember the amount of conversation we'd have, really enjoyable chats that we'd have about it. And then it ended. And then it just felt kind of like the momentum not dead, like, because the All-Ireland semi-finals and preliminary quarter-finals were to follow. But I just felt that was really important, and then the importance was negated. So why not make it separate anyway and do the Munster Championship early in the year? And you can still do that, and that can still be really exciting. But just to have this one-off 8-county tournament to decide who the All-Ireland champions are, it'll obviously never happen. Most people will completely disagree with that. I would like to see it.
All right. 5 minutes past.
Yeah, I'm only confused by, I'm not sure what's happening now is that different to what's happening there. You do have quarterfinals, semifinals, and a final.
It's a neater branding rather than these silly titles of preliminary quarterfinals.
They're gone.
County's playing here. Well, that I know that is good. County's playing there. County's playing here. There's like three weeks between Munster, the Munster final, and then the All Ireland semi final. So winning Munster may not actually benefit you that much.
Well,
a bit of it's a break.
What do you do about the county stadiums like the Cork or whatever? No,
We'll still play there.
When?
We'll give them a stipend or something for the fact that you've allowed this to happen in Croke Park. I'll find a way around this. You can ask as many questions as you want. There'll be solutions to them all. I promise you that.
Didn't get your thoughts on the Beckham rift. We'll have to do that.
I listened to an entire podcast about it, and I can't believe we didn't talk about it yesterday.
5 minutes past 8 this morning, though. It's time for us to go.